100 Word Stories.
Good morning, everyone. This is Lawrence Simon of the 100 Word Stories podcast at one a day until the day I die.com. Not dead yet. Let's have some more stories. In fact, we're going to have more stories than the usual stories during the week because it's Sunday, weekly challenge. Lots of stories from you, those who saw the topic and thought, I could write something about that. Mist, did you see the topic? Could you write something about that? No, because you're a cat. My sad cat on Twitter is so funny. Anyway, let's get on with the storytelling and we can play the My Sad Cat game later. First up, it's Tom. Yeah, it's not John. Well, Tom sent in a bunch of stories because he's off gallivanting in the hinterlands. So is Lizzie, but I don't think they're gallivanting together. Gallivanting together is something that, who knows, it might be a topic in the future. But here's Tom and his story.
Hello, night people. Tom here. And I've got a story. A continuation of A Well-Defined Relationship, Part 61. Elsa's mother hadn't raised a fool, so he called out for his men to give up. Two of these men were, in fact, card-carrying fools and made aggressive moves at the good ladies of the Gear Guild. Two pops reduced the number of bandits from 28 to 26. Sid cried again, this time invoking the universal word of surrender. Limbo! In keeping with the rite of limbo, he and his comrades crawled on their bellies away to the right. Backing away, the good ladies tossed the bandits mag restraints. None of their mothers had raised fools either.
Thank you, Tom. Remember, he's out traveling. Traveling far and wide, near and narrow, and in between. I'm not sure. What? Okay. Now let's go on to John Musico and see what he's got. John, what's your story for the week?
The Journey by John Musico. It started one day suddenly. Whenever I made eye contact with anyone, I couldn't hold back an intense stare. Slowly, the stranger with fear in his eyes would change into me, and then the lock of the stare would cease. I'd catch my reflection. I'd become the stranger. Again. I can barely remember what I looked like before this curse began. I've changed so many times. One day, dumb luck crossed my path. The original me, just standing there. That person, of course, didn't recognize me. I eagerly locked eyes. Hallelujah! I was back! The curse never returned again.
Thank you, John. And now things turn to the strange side. A few stories from Jeffrey. By the way, did I tell you it was August? Yeah, it's August. It's unusually chilly at the moment. Maybe it's one of those strange Augusts. Some Pakistani August, as there is Indian summer. I'm not sure. Anyway, here is Jeffrey.
Hello, this is Jeffrey Fisher, here for week 432. I'm doing the limbo with you. My first story is called, How Low Can You Go? Johnny was surprised as anyone to find himself at Simon's beach party, doing the limbo. When Simon was in high school, Johnny had bullied him unmercifully, but he supposed that graduating changed everyone. Johnny kept accepting drinks from Simon until Johnny was unsteady on his feet. It was his turn again, and to his surprise, he noticed he was alone. As he bent backward to try to slide under the pole, Johnny lost his balance, falling backward onto the sand. He tried to rise, but couldn't move a muscle. "Don't worry, that's just the tranquilizer I put in your drinks," Simon noted. He started packing up the effects of the party. "You'll be fine in around 6 hours. Too bad that the tide is coming in. I estimate the spot you're lying in will be underwater in about 45 minutes. And my second story is called Inhuman Resources. I wanted to hire a research analyst for the group, but my top candidate was blocked by a veteran who was manifestly less qualified. I called HR to see what could be done. "You have to hire the veteran, because he takes precedence over all other candidates," the HR woman told me. Okay, doesn't it bother you that he appears to have lied on his resume by saying he passed a statistics course when the course isn't on his transcript and he denied ever taking it when we interviewed him?" "Well, we just have to take his word for it." "His word? Which time? When he wrote it or when he told us something different?" "There's nothing we can do for you." So the superior candidate, who didn't lie on her resume, is stuck in a bureaucratic limbo until the end of time? "That's right. Anything else I can help you with today, Mr. Fisher?" "I'm not sure I can take any more of that help." Well, that's it for me this week. I'll be back next week.
Thank you, Jeffrey. Mist ruined the earlier attempt to... Oh, you're back up here again. She pawed at the trackpad and reset the recording. Stupid shit. Yeah, there's an article out there about cats being returned to shelters and given up because black cats do not appear on selfies and photographs on social media as well as other cats, which is why you probably see a ton of photos of Tinny as opposed to this little monster. Yes, you are such a monster. You are so mean to Tinny. Yes, Tinny is good for you. So I'm just going to have my coffee. As Mist hasn't knocked it off the table yet. And let's go with... Oh, Lizzie's off gallivanting in the hinterlands, too. She sent in a bunch of stories. I'm not going to play them all at once because they're for different topics. I read her instructions. No, it wasn't an email flood. It's not spam if it's actually intended for the person. And they're kind of expecting it. It's spam when it's like, "Make your butt bigger. More hair and 90 days. I don't know." No, we're not going to do that. Although that could be a fun topic. Whatever. Write a spam message. Anyway, here is Jeff. No, Lizzie. So out of order.
The body was splattered all over the white street, right in front of the town hall. The mayor scratched his head, looking up at the sky and down at the body. The police chief did the same while trying to convince federal authorities to come over as quickly as possible. And everyone else just did nothing. The truth is that the body had fallen from the sky, a rather unusual occurrence, one must admit. But the most bizarre aspect of this story was the fact that ever since they closed the local airport, not a single plane flew over town. This was my story for this week. Drop by my blog at lizziegoodcough.blogspot.com, and I'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Lizzie. We miss you. We miss you, even though most of us only know you through these recordings or your blog posts. We still miss you. I know you deeper than that, so it's okay. It's all right. Enjoy your time off. Don't... You're listening to this. Stop. You can listen to all these when you get back. All right? Relax. That's what time off is for.
But time off is time that I actually have time to listen to these.
Anyway, when do I take time off? Actually, I've got 3.5 days of time off to burn in August and early September, so I already booked all of them. And I'm not planning anything special, just extended Labor Day weekend. Oh, no, wait. Is it Labor Day? Yeah, it's Labor Day. When's the tax holiday? I need to buy more dungarees. Screw it. I'm going to buy dungarees when I get out of here. So, and I need to call the bank. Instead of a payment for $2,200 to Discover, $22,000. All right. But that's okay. They have customer service on Sundays. Never do your electronic banking on Sundays. Okay, how about we move on to Richard? Are you having a good day?
Good morning. Well, no messing about. Straight into the stories. This is George's story, part 64, Breakout. As luck, which had been more than generous up until now, would have it, it was the passenger door that faced the exit, through which George propelled himself. And it was locked. Hearing the unmistakable roar of the lion close at hand, George dropped to the ground and, with the flexibility of a champion limbo dancer, half slid, half shimmied himself under the vehicle, popped up on the other side, and wrenched open the driver's door. Throwing himself into the Land Rover, he slammed the door and collapsed behind the wheel, sweating, gasping, bruised, terrified, and exhausted, but very much alive. Story number two is called Crossover. So much for the holiday of a lifetime. We were into our fifth day at the airport, with no sign of respite. It all started when the plane was diverted. The poor flying conditions forced us to land at a remote outpost that few had ever heard of, and a mix-up with paperwork consigned us to the tin shack that served as a transit lounge. Tempers were frayed, tears shed, and everyone's patience exhausted. Eventually, with nothing else on the horizon, we'd all become resigned to our fate. Left, in a godforsaken airport, in a town called Limbo. And finally, this one's called If at First. The knock on the door was unexpected. Limbo leggings peered through the window, surprised to see the imposing form of a wizard stood on his doormat. As the door swung open, the wizard had barely begun to speak when the hobbit tersely interrupted. "Whatever it is, I'm not interested. No double glazing, driveway resurfacing, or window cleaning. And definitely not interested in saving my soul. Now, if that's all, I've breakfast waiting." And with that, the door slammed in the wizard's face. He sighed. Arranging quests never used to be this difficult. Maybe he should give the dwarves a try? And that's all. Have a good week. If not, have a bad week. But whatever you do, have a week. Goodbye.
Thank you, Richard. I hope things are even better next week. Bop me in the nose. Okay, how about we move on to Muncie? Let's just keep this stuff going. I don't want to hold anyone up. Oh, I saw Guardians of the Galaxy. The best review so far is I Am Groot. So, let's go to Muncie. Hi.
Greetings, informers. From Munzee, and a hearty sidosi wdobopsu out of blam, a leaky boom boom now to you. Wow, Monroe, really? A snow joke in 2014? Ah well, too late to change it now. Informers, it shall have to remain. Story time! Limbo, by Christopher Monroe. Every limbo boy and girl, all around the limbo world, gonna do the limbo rock, all around the limbo clock. Jack be limbo, Jack be quick, Jack go under limbo stick, all around the limbo clock. Hey, let's do the limbo rock. The song plays on its eternal loop, and I know there'll be no rest, no escape, no moment of respite. This is my purgatory. Punishment of sins insufficient for hell, but enough to leave me here, alone in the void, with naught but one song for company. Limbo lower now. Limbo lower now. How low can you go? Broken Escalator, ChristopherMonroe.blogspot.com, and tweets at Munzee Munzee. That's me finished for the week, informers. I hope you found it informational. After all, we try to keep it informal here, but we try to keep well informed. And you're all in for a good time when we...
Shut up, Munzee!
Right, sorry. Back to you, Lawrence.
Thank you, Munzee. I'm sure that will get us through the month with flying colors. What is a flying color, anyway? Why is it flying colors? Not sure. I should look that up. While I'm looking that up, you enjoy Serendipity's story. That's not a request, that is a command.
Holiday fun and games are not, as you will no doubt surmise, amongst my favorite things. Sunbathing, volleyball, alcohol-fueled beach parties, and skinny dipping are really not that high on my list of priorities. But you know how it is. Sometimes you've no choice other than to make an effort. This time, it was limbo dancing at the poolside bar, my suggestion. And I was to go last. My turn never came. Perhaps it was something to do with the razor blades I embedded on the underside of the pole, and the broken glass shards liberally scattered below it.
Thank you, Serendipity. I feel somehow altered by that, and it frightens me. You know what isn't frightening? Zachman. He never scares me. He never scares me. Does he scare you? Well, then, prepare to be frightened. It's Ant-Man time.
What's limbo, asked John. Didn't George Carlin say, there is no purgatory, there's only heaven, hell, and limbo? There's nothing in limbo, because if there were, it would no longer be limbo? Said Joe. Yes, but he proved his ignorance of theology when he asked, why didn't God sum up the Bible in one or two sentences? When most people know that as, treat others as you wish to be treated, and have no other gods before me, replied John. I'm opening Google Maps. If we can't figure out what limbo is, maybe we can find where.
Thank you, Zachman. I just... I just read something. This'll teach me to check Facebook timelines while I'm recording these. Andrew Ian Dodge, the cancer that had sprung up on him, took him down. Is the post that he had left on the site, the dead man switch hit, and you can read some of his stories in the early weekly challenges, and he's got a category here of stuff that politics or whatever would cross his mind, and
Hi, this is Dionysus Close with four stories based on Limbo. The first one is called A Kind of Nothingness. Neither of them could remember how they got there. At first, it was a place of perpetual happiness. Alone, they were nothing. Together, everyone was a newly discovered friend. Somehow, wherever they went, laughter and good spirits were waiting for them, with companions who smiled on their blossoming love. And then everything changed, had already changed. When? Erstwhile friends cast shadows in their looks. The laughter swirled around them, enclosing them, and all potential friends smiled rigidly through them, past them, beyond them, for someone else. When had it changed? Now they were alone. Now they were together alone, waiting, though neither knew for what. The next story is called Storytime in Infant Limbo. There once was a wee jelly jar who dreamed of becoming a big jar filled with jelly. The wee little jar went to his mother and said, "Mother dear, when shall I become a full jelly jar?" Said his mother, "I do not know, my child. Ask your father." So the tiny jar went to his father, asking, "Father dear, when shall I grow big and be filled with jelly, so that those who love sweet jelly shall come to me and be filled themselves with my assistance?" The father looked with compassion on his wee jar and said, "Never." The next story is called The 2,000-Year-Old Baby. They encourage dancing, always the dancing. Maybe you noticed babies don't dance, so the dancing was a failure. I was never interested in the dancing, I tell you that, but they wanted us busy. Why? Where were we going? Nowhere. You know the dancing called limbo dancing? In the beginning, that was big, so big. Nobody could do it. The thing was here. All we could do was crawl under the thing. They said, "No crawling, dance. Lean over backwards, always with the leaning. We don't even stand up. We're lucky to roll over." They call it mild chastisement, the limbo dancing. I say it's hell. And finally, the last story is called Life on the Outskirts of Hell. The people didn't think they were fortunate because they were on the outskirts, but because they could see beyond. They can imagine crossing over. It was forbidden, of course. Little Timon often sat with his sister in the still dusk, looking across the dusty river. Their parents had gone before either of the children could be baptized. They'd often heard discouraging tales of what happened to those who attempted the crossing. Tales of death are worse. A decision was impossible. Years passed. They stayed. And Timon eventually grew accustomed to the pervasive stench of burning flesh, even their own.
I'm really sorry, folks. I don't know what to do at this point. I'm just going to thank folks, move on to the next, get this up, and yeah. So, thank you, Dionysus, and Danny, let's hear some fun stuff about Catholics. And, oh, what timing. Whenever you make some sort of comment about something, there's always one of them there. This is why you should only make jokes about ghosts. As if ghosts are gonna frickin' do anything, right?
Ta-da! Hello, hello, Danny Dwyer. Back for the second week in a row. Hey, I must be feeling good. I'm here with weekly challenge number 432. The topic is limbo. And this is great news. Not a single swear word in this entry. Unless you are, you know, offended by the concept of a centaur therapist Jesus, you know, then, well, yeah, it's me we're talking about here, so get used to it. Here we are with my entry for this week's topic, Limbo. The centaur therapist named Jesus recently found himself cast into limbo. He decided before he slipped off the edge into hell, he would try to put his therapist skills to good use. Noticing how all the other souls cast into limbo were terribly depressed, centaur therapist Jesus had a brilliant idea. Let's teach them all how to limbo. The lost souls from Trinidad were quick to place the bar as low as possible. Before long, those who died in original sin without being assigned to the hell of the damned emerged from death to life and forgot they were Catholics. And that's my entry for this week. And if you want to see more blasphemous crap like this, come to DannyDwyer.wordpress.com. And eventually I'll dress up the page to make you feel more welcome. But in the meantime, I've got this generic background stuff, and, you know, it looks nice. So come by, read what I've written, leave a few comments, and have fun. This is Danny Dwyer, and until next week.
Thank you, Danny. What do you think, Miss? What do you think I should do? I don't know. Okay. Let's move on to Chelsea and hear what she's got up her sleeves. Could be up pant legs, too. If you're wearing pants or a skirt, maybe behind the ears, if you got a barrette under the barrette, up your sleeve under the barrette. I'm sure magicians who wear barrettes hide things under there. Anywhere you could hide something, a magician hides things there. Even in the woods. You know, get a shovel. This cutting an assistant in half didn't work. Get a shovel. We're going to the woods. Let's just keep this going before I say something really stupid.
Limbo, by Chelsea. People say there's nothing to fear but fear itself. I think they're wrong. I think there's something out there that causes more fear than anything else. It's a moment. A moment that's gone in an instant. A moment of undefined nothingness. It's the moment before you find out if you get the part. Before you see your fiancé at the end of the aisle. It's the moment before you open the closet door. Or walk into your boss's office for a meeting. The only thing to fear is the limbo of not knowing.
Thank you, Chelsea. I'm just going to run through these and get this done and up, and then who knows what. Because it's one a day until the day I die, not one a day until the day Andrew dies. So we need to keep going, right? Right. Well, there will be no Jerry Lewis and Dean Martin moment at the 10th anniversary, I guess. Let's keep going. Here's, what is it? 10, 11, 11A, Norval Joe.
Hello, this is Philip Norval Joe Carroll of NorvalJoe.com. Hello, This is Philbert Normal Joe Farrell of normaljoeferrell.galaxy.sector45695321. And this is my entry for the weekly challenge number 4,863,248 with a prompt of bag. So here's my story. When John Kerry first got his driver's license, he borrowed the family car and drove to a porno theater on the edge of town. The woman at the ticket counter took his money without looking up. The theater manager never asked John his age until they kicked him out for bringing in outside food. When his mother picked him up at the police station, she said, "I told you not to bring that bag of dicks with you." "I wasn't going to eat them," he told his mother. "I just wanted to know what it felt like to have one." Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week. And this is my entry for the weekly challenge number 432 with a prompt of limbo. So here's my story. Ulnar Styloid, warrior chieftain of the Elecronon process, scanned the data from his deep system sensors and shook his cylindrical head.
"Commander, I'm getting conflicting data from our advanced scout units," Lieutenant Commander Vast Deferen said, twisting his earpiece. "It appears there's a limbosacral herniation on the mid-sagittal plane."
"Mid-sagittal?" Styloid asked. "Isn't that the domain of the lumbar units?"
"Normally, Commander, we believe someone with astrophysics experience pulled some strings and brought them from between dimensions. They'd been stuck there since the galactic mitosis."
"Very well. Send Sveno Palantine to the orbital cavity for a look." Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
Thank you, Norval Joe. Okay, next up is Tora, and then we're getting close to the end here, and I'll put this together and get the text of the stories and the thing. I didn't prep that all last night usually, but I've just gotten sloppy, and now this. So, Tora, save us from my blithering here.
The dancer approached the impossibly low bar, only inches high. As the drumbeat swelled, he slowly leaned back until he was almost flattened against the ground, but still touching it only with his feet. He inched forward with the beat, until his knees, if you could call them that, poked under the bar. Inch by inch he advanced until his hips passed through. Then in a single flowing movement, his whole upper body snaked under, and he stood up to the cheers of his fellows. Limbo dancing isn't for humans anymore. How can we compete with boneless alien lizard men?
Thank you, Tora. Just a few more, and we'll be done. So, Julie, what have you got for us this week?
Julie? Here's my contribution to this week's weekly challenge. I have no idea if it's on topic, but you know what? It's a 100-word poem called "What Color Was the Sky That Day?" Impossibly clear, painfully blue. There was just too much sun. Why did it have to end that way? The perfect day, until it was not, until the world changed irrevocably, humanity raining from the sky into the earth down to the bedrock of your lives. 13 years later, I look at its bloody eye. There is no sky 70 feet below ground to this place where we will always remember you. I take my sandals off, root into the frigid stone. Small white hand, your tube, no day shall erase you. Thanks very much for listening. There will be no shameless plugs. See you guys next week, okay?
Thank you, Julie. And let's wrap this up with some Planet Z, and then get this out. And just...
Sammy lived and breathed baseball. Little League World Series, High School All-American, College World Series. Drafted first pick and shot through the minors like a rocket. A, double A, triple A, and then the call-up. While warming up for his first start, his elbow came apart. 9 surgeries and years of rehab never got it back. Sammy blew through the signing bonus like a hurricane. Tried scouting and coaching, but he never had a head for it. Now he coaches the batting cages on a cruise ship, dancing limbo with old ladies at night. How low can you go?
And there you have it, another 100 Word Stories Weekly Challenge. Topic was limbo. Comments, onedayuntilthedayidie.com, all sorts of other links. Blah, 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 blah. Next topic is media. Thank you for listening and putting up with this. I'm just... it's too fucking brief, man.